you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine.
Hey guys, this is Steve from Philly. I've been a big fan of your podcast for quite a while, and I just want to let you know that I'm kind of bummed out by all the negativity that you guys seem to be stuck on lately. Yeah, okay, someone picked on you for saying sir. To name an episode about it, to throw in sound bites constantly throughout the show, to read a full Wikipedia page about it, you guys are going a little overboard. I enjoy the show, I enjoy the positive things, I do enjoy the criticisms of movies coming out and comics and the creative aspect of the geek world. But you guys are going a little nuts just being so upset about stuff. And it really puts a bad taste in your mouth and makes the podcast kind of more of a bitch fest than just what it should be, in my opinion, which is just an enjoyable show about stuff that I'm interested in and want to hear about. You guys can feel free to just listen to this privately or rename an episode Another Guy Bitches About Something Else. And you can, read a definition if you want, but it's just one listener's opinion, that's all. Have a good one.
Hi!
Hello!
How are you?
I'm positive. How are you?
I am excellent.
This is going to be a good show.
A positive show.
I am taking Steve from Philly's words to heart.
That's right.
And we're turning things around right here time on Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 211. No, not some guy bitches about something else, but we're calling it positive, Steve. Right. That's what we're calling it.
We're taking his phone call as positive criticism.
Right.
And we're
constructive.
We're embracing it.
Yes.
And we're making a change.
That's what we're doing. And so this time, you can tell right from the get-go, it's all about being positive.
Yay!
Woohoo!
All right.
And while we're getting off on this positive note, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com where you can find out all the things we're doing. Our live from Studio V's are over there. My understanding, more are coming any day now.
Yeah. Production Tim's not happy.
Excuse me, sir, because that does not sound like you're being positive right there.
Well, I'm going to spin it around.
Okay.
He's not happy with me.
Why?
Because I have shirked my responsibilities in posting the first New York Comic Con video.
You still
on
haven't
the site.
Posted that?
Well, it's on the YouTube site, and you can get to it from the videos link.
I have a feeling that production Tim would be much happier with you.
Well, I'm going to post it.
Well, that's very good.
I'm going to post it.
Excellent.
I'm going to make it shiny and happy right there on the front page.
My understanding is also that several of the minions are redoing the site. Is that true?
That is a possibility.
Is that going to be launching January 1st, 2011?
That would be lovely. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Just saying it would be lovely.
Sir?
Positively speaking, it will happen January 1st.
I'm just telling you to watch your tone.
I'm sorry.
Because you know how you tend, you easily drift into that area. I feel like I need to pull you back.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what else is positive.
What?
Big Kev Eats Stuff coming in January 2011.
Wow, I really want to be negative right
now. I'm positive that it's coming.
All right.
I'm just saying.
All right.
And of course, also over at the website, you can catch each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast. With picture galleries, links to our forum area, we have contests, we have all sorts of things going on, all the information of which is found over at the website, as well as a few of our sponsors who dig the show and want you to dig and check out their products, so you can check those out over there as well. And you can also check us out on Sirius XM Satellite Radio every other week. And usually it plays correctly.
Usually they play the whole show
and
in the
order.
Correct order.
Yes.
Usually.
Just that we're keeping the aim of the show here, sir. There were some technical difficulties with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the Sirius XM experience last weekend. And so that show will actually be played Thanksgiving weekend, which is next weekend, in its entirety. In the correct order and so on. We got a little, what's the show on Fox?
What, Firefly?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, we didn't miss that one, did we?
No, we got that one.
Anyway, the point is that they will be replaying that episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the Sirius XM experience, next Saturday night. That's rather right. than having a new episode, they're going to replay that one.
And I'm going to say that when we come back from Thanksgiving break.
Right.
We may have two new Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
Related products to talk about.
Didn't miss that one either.
No. Got both of them. Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah,
so,
QMX put out some stuff that I had to fight off the web bad people for to get, but I got it. Positively, I got it.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was nothing but goodness.
Wonderful. And with that, let's move on with the show.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
The Green Lantern trailer.
Yeah.
Yes, I said lantern. It was pronounced incorrectly on purpose.
I liked it.
I liked it as well, actually.
I think there's a lot of people out there who are being profoundly negative about that trailer, and I liked it.
You know, some people have had some negative things to say, but I disagree with those negative things, and I'm feeling very positive about the trailer. Some people said Ryan Reynolds was inappropriate for the role. Some people said he was a bit too silly, perhaps. And a bit too reckless.
Yeah, I don't think that
that's the case. I my recollection, now let me preface this by saying I'm not a big Green Lantern fan.
Okay.
I have never been a big Green Lantern fan. My knowledge of Green Lantern is minimum.
Right.
Minimal.
Minimal.
At best.
Uh-huh.
That being said, what I have seen and what I have read and, you know, in some of the animated shorts and stuff like that, I always thought that Hal Jordan prior to becoming Green Lantern was kind of like a smarmy,
like a hot cocky, shot, hot pilot.
Pilot guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of like, he can do no wrong, you know, in the program. And, you know, he was awesome at everything that he did within the program. So,
you know what?
Him being kind of cocky and right. swarmy and swarmy.
Right.
Is okay. It you works know what, for the though? Character of Hal Jordan.
Well, here's what I say. Regardless of how he was in the comics, like any other comic book translation, it's not going to be 100% translated from the book.
Absolutely.
Because Batman, it's very close, but it's not 100%. Superman is very close. It's not 100%. You know, it's like there are certain little idiosyncrasies that we just have to accept.
Absolutely.
And we just have to say, okay, well, this is in the Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern movie verse. This is how Hal Jordan is. And it's not such a giant departure. If he's never been portrayed like Ryan Reynolds is portraying him, if he's never been portrayed in the comics like Ryan Reynolds is portraying him in the film, I'm sure it's not that far off. You know, and if it is, we have a way you can get in touch with us about that. Just like Steve from Philly, you can call our GVM, the Geek voicemail.
425-920-6050.
And you can school us about, whether we're totally wrong about how Hal Jordan is being portrayed. I just don't see it as that big a deal.
Well, while we're talking about DC, we'll stick on the DC topic. How about rumors this week that Warner Brothers is looking to launch, after The Dark Knight Rises, a new Batman TV series?
Animated?
No.
Live action?
Yes.
Hmm.
They're saying that the character has certainly proven itself a popular character and certainly can bring in the money. Smallville has endured for 11 seasons.
Right.
There hasn't been a live action Batman TV show in 40 years.
Well, if we're talking about one that includes Batman, then yes.
Yeah, because we don't count Birds of Prey. Right. Is that what you were thinking?
That's where I was going.
Yeah, no. No, an actual Batman show.
Gotcha.
I think that's interesting. I think that superheroes are making their way to the smaller screen to television.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a couple of networks have tried to work around using any mainstream well-known characters and tried to come up with some original creator-controlled content.
Right.
And some of them have failed.
Yes.
Heroes failed quickly after a couple of seasons.
Once they got rid of the comic book guys.
I hear that No Ordinary Family is starting to take a nosedive.
Not doing well.
The Cape, which has not yet premiered, although it is coming in the spring or winter. It's a mid-season
replacement.
There is a lot of hype still following that one.
Right.
And, of course, a couple weeks back, we talked about the Hulk coming to television.
Right.
So this is kind of DC, you know, I don't want to say.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah. I mean.
No.
But, I think Batman back on TV is. I think it's long overdue.
If they
dare
do it,
I say.
If they do it in a Chris Nolan style, if they do it in a way that honors or carries on the legacy that the Chris Nolan Batman movies have set up,
right?
If that's the universe that they put it in. Sure, but of course, immediately the problems are going to be the fact that. That's not the cast you're going to get. You're not going to get Christian Bale.
Oh, no, clearly not.
You're not going to get Gary Oldman.
No, you're not going to get any of those people,
that's
I don't
the
think,
point.
To return.
But that, I think, is an important point, though.
It is an important point, but I think that the most important thing that we've learned from the Nolan Batman movies is that Batman is a character that needs to be treated seriously,
right,
and not campy. And I think that if they can treat it seriously, stay on a kind of dark side of things.
Dark, realistic.
Right. I think that it's certainly a viable franchise. And since there is no real word of another Batman movie following The Dark Knight Rises, certainly there's going to be a void mm-hmm. for that character in entertainment outside of comics in some capacity.
Right.
And why not television?
I guess. I mean, short of them putting Bruce Timm and Paul Dini back on making a new animated series.
No, but I think we need a live action series. I think it's time.
I agree, but I just I'm concerned about it. I want to stay positive.
Right.
About it, but I feel like there could be some concerns there.
Sure.
But I guess we'll wait and see.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about the Hulk, by the by, since I did mention it and bring it up. Did you hear that Del Toro is working on the TV show along with the producers that brought us Galactica?
No.
It's some sort of like crazy dream team. Now, I don't know if this is one of those Del Toro is going to do the pilot and then he'll get producer credits, much like Bryan Singer did. Was it House? Yeah. You know, and
or
then he
Frank
came
Darabont.
Back. Yeah, right. And then he came back and did a couple of episodes here and there for House.
Frank Darabont
on Walking Dead. Yeah. That's awesome. Del Toro.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, he's certainly not working on The Hobbit. So.
Is anyone working on The Hobbit?
And he's certainly not working on Hellboy 3. So
Hellboy 3 without me.
There you go. Louis Leterrier.
Uh-huh.
Do you like him as a director?
What has he done again? Refresh.
He did the Hulk movie. The good Hulk movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
He's the guy. He wants to do Why the Last Man.
That could be
the
good.
Film.
That could be good.
I think that's good. I'm sorry, not the film. Was it the film or was it the TV show? The show.
I heard we heard both things, and this came up around the time they were talking Preacher for HBO. The same thing was being talked about, Why the Last Man, as a sort of extended HBO series or not extended, much in the way that, well, I guess Deadwood's probably a bad example, but something with a finite beginning and a finite end.
Sure.
I guess you wouldn't have a finite beginning, but a beginning and a finite end.
Right.
And if it took them three seasons to cover it, then the thing would only be three seasons.
Hey, look, you know, AMC might be a viable option.
Maybe.
Because if they treat any product as amazingly as they're treating The Walking Dead, then there's potential for everything to be a
success.
Have
you seen The Walking Dead yet, OG?
I've seen the first two episodes. I have not seen the third episode yet.
I think it's really good, but already there are people who are being negative about it.
They're giving away stuff too quickly and certain things aren't. It's an adaptation.
Yeah, I don't understand what people are. Why you can't see, here's my problem, and this is where I compliment Steve from Philly, because he's probably a guy like me in these circumstances where you go into a comic book store like I did today, and I heard people there talking about how it's such a disappointment, Walking Dead is such a disappointment, and I just started bathing these people in responses like, when have you ever seen a book of any type, comic or otherwise, that got translated into another medium, either TV or movies, and it was exactly like the book? And
right.
Nobody had an answer. I'm like, exactly. And I said, and if you keep crapping on things because they're not exactly like the book, you won't even get the things that are not like the book anymore.
Not to mention, and I agree with all those points, but not to mention, take into account what AMC was dealing with here. This is a six-episode season. It's a super... So their thought is, right, they've got to make six really packed, well-written, fast-moving episodes. We already know they've renewed it for an additional 13 next year.
Right.
So, of course, these six might be a consolidation of some of the stuff that happens early on, but the sacrifice for that could end up being
you get the length.
You get the length of
you
of
get
the
five
story.
Or six seasons or more.
Exactly.
So I mean, people are. I don't understand why we continually have this discussion. Why people aren't more positive about the fact that they're getting a Green Lantern movie?
Sure.
That they're getting, and it doesn't star Jack Black. Why they're not more positive about the fact that they're getting a Walking Dead TV show? Think about it: a Walking Dead TV show, a weekly show about surviving a zombie apocalypse, where they cut Nothing. They cut none of the gore, no. None of the, I mean, it's all in there. And people still want to find room to complain about it.
And also, let's say this. Let's say going into The Walking Dead, we heard, right? The positive thing is that they told us in advance that they were going to take deviations,
mm-hmm.
that there were going to be changes, and that we had to just roll with those. Why can't you just appreciate it on that level?
I don't understand.
All right, let's move forward. How about what I'm calling good news is that Jim Carrey has dropped out of the Three Stooges movie.
Oh, good.
As Curly. The reason I'm calling it good news is because I don't think that we needed a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah.
I thought that Jim Carrey was good casting for Curly.
I didn't.
But I don't think that we needed a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah, I don't think so. And with Zach Galifianakis running around.
Oh, God.
How is Jim Carrey the good call for Curly? Number one. Number two, didn't Sean Penn drop out of that movie as well?
No, I think he's still tied to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's movie, still on.
That movie is never getting made. Do not hold your breath.
No.
Do not wait.
No, no, no.
And you know why I say that? Because I think a movie like that, I think, they do a Laurel and Hardy, or was it Three Stooges movie? There was some movie that was remade, not remade, but one of those sort of oldie time groups.
Are you talking about the Little Rascals movie?
No. Well, that
what
too.
What an abomination that
That's
was.
Another good example. But no, this was another one with, I think it was the Three Stooges, but I'm not really
the
sure.
Honeymooners?
That was another great example. But it seems like when you try to redo stuff like that, it ultimately just ends up being bad. And moreover, in some cases, the Honeymooners in particular, it's an embarrassment to the original.
Yes.
So therefore, I don't care who... you can put Oscar-winning people in these roles. It's not going to make the concept of the thing any better. So
I agree with that.
I think it would be best just to enjoy. You want to do something? How about re-release the Three Stooges, you know, on TV or on...
Well, we know they've been doing DVDs. We've been talking about
they have
those
the
sets.
Yeah, the sets are all done. They're all out. So... But I just think you leave well enough alone, and you know, here's an idea. Create something new.
All right. Let's move forward. How about Channing Tatum?
Okay. Yes. Off his starring role in G.I. Joe.
Well, he was also in Public Enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Public Enemies. That was all right. It looks like that he might be the lead for 21 Jump Street.
The Johnny Depp role?
The Johnny Depp role.
Okay. So Channing Tatum and...
Jonah Hill.
It's interesting.
Well.
It's covering all the bases, isn't it?
I mean, I'm still confused by the concept of doing a 21 Jump Street movie and why we need a 21 Jump Street movie. I don't necessarily have a problem with Jonah Hill.
I like Jonah Hill.
I'm okay... I didn't really care for Joe. I mean, it was what it was.
G.I. Joe?
I liked Public Enemies. It was what it was.
Well, we'll see if this is what it was as well.
We'll see what it is.
I'm gonna try to stay positive about it until I know more or see more.
Darren Aronofsky. Uh-huh. Aronofsky. I left out the F. Confirms the new title for the Wolverine movie.
Is?
The Wolverine. That's it. He's saying that it's not a sequel, that is it a standalone Wolverine movie. He follows it up by saying that...
it'll pick up where the events...
Logan beginning a forbidden romance with a Japanese woman whose hand in marriage unfortunately promised to another man, since Logan won't take no for an answer.
Silver
it puts
samurai.
Him in a battle right, with her father and her samurai sword-wielding brothers.
Okay.
It is a sequel, because doesn't the end of the first movie
he's
end
in Japan.
With him in a bar in Japan?
Yes. Well, that's one of the endings.
All right. That all being said, I'm still okay with his movie because I do like Darren Aronofsky.
Right.
And I do like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I still think
absolutely.
That he was the perfect casting for Wolverine. And I think that with all of the flaws of the first movie,
right.
The character can still be salvaged if the movie is done well.
Now going into his fifth film in the character.
Yes, his fifth film.
Fifth film.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's very exciting. Any chance to see that character done well is fine. And although I didn't overall like Origins. I really did the Wolverine movie. Yeah. Although I didn't like it very much, it did have some positive aspects to it. So
yeah, I mean, it was a disappointment in a lot of ways, right. But there were some okay parts to it.
Yeah, like X3, disappointment. But, you know, yeah. There were some moments that were nice. Right.
Remember a couple weeks back or a month back? God, it might have been 2 months back. We talked about a movie, The Magic Kingdom. This is a Disney-related project.
Okay.
And we heard that it was called The Magic Kingdom because it was going to somehow be about the Magic Kingdom, the park.
No.
The Disney park?
I don't recall any such conversation.
Well, the rumor this week is that Favreau might be tied to the project.
Okay.
And that the concept behind the project, again, uh-huh. This is all rumor, so, you know.
The park comes alive and kills people.
No, actually, what I'm hearing is kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit meets Night at the Museum.
Okay.
I could see that working. I mean, if you take the concept of Night at the Museum and put it in the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
There's a concept there. I'm not saying it's going to be a good concept, although I was a fan of Night at the Museum and the sequel. I actually thought both of those were okay movies. I didn't, you know, for what they were, you know,
well, they were
kind of campy
were for your,
kids.
They're for
movies.
Your age group. So.
Right. The children. The wee ones.
Uh-huh. Or in your case, the ones who play Wii.
Yes. Or the ones who Wii themselves. Never know. There are many options here.
Okay.
I don't know. I like Favreau being tied to a project. I kind of like the overall concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there could be a story there.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if that goes anywhere.
Okay.
And then rounding out the news. Total Recall. We've heard that they were going to reboot this movie, but they weren't going to call it Total Recall. They were going to call it whatever the book was called. Something about vacations.
Oh, yeah.
What was the original short story called?
I don't remember the original story was called. Was that one of the Bachman books?
Hold on one second.
Because Running Man was one of the Bachman books. That was Stephen King Total Recall? Or am I thinking wrong? No, that wasn't Stephen King. Stephen King was The Running Man, which was one of the Bachman books. I don't remember was Total Recall Philip K. Dick? No, I don't remember.
It was originally based on a story by Philip K. Dick.
Oh, okay.
We can remember it for you wholesale. That was the name of the movie.
Okay.
For some reason, I thought Vacation was there.
Is that what they're going to call the movie?
We had heard that they were going to go back to not a remake of the film, but more a newer adaptation of the original story.
Ah.
Okay.
I see.
And now we're hearing on the rumor mill again that Colin Farrell might be the one that they're looking at to portray the lead male that was originally portrayed by
the
Arnold Schwarzenegger
character
in the film Total Recall.
Huh. Well, interesting.
I mean, I like Total Recall, so, you know, I like Philip K. Dick.
I love Philip K. Dick.
What was another really good? Was Minority Report?
Paycheck.
Yet? Oh, Paycheck. Who was Minority Report?
That wasn't
Philip K. Dick, right?
I think that was Philip K. Dick.
Minority Report, the movie, was really good. If that was Philip K. Dick, if that was an adaptation of Philip K. Dick,
Philip K. Dick was Blade Runner, sir.
Yes.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Of electric sheep.
Yes. That was Philip K. Dick.
So there you go.
Paycheck was Philip K. Dick, the Ben Affleck movie, which we're going to get slaughtered about over at the GVM.
Yes. Minority Report
was also Philip K. Dick. He was a futurist. So
yes.
A lot of those near future type things, it's always there was one with Gary Sinise also, a Philip K. Dick movie that also starred Gary Sinise. It's the only Philip K. Dick translated to film or otherwise that I have not seen. And I can't remember it for the life of me. I can't remember the name of it. But I'm sure you'll come up with it, OG. But he's one of those near futurist guys, and I really like that stuff. You know who else was like that? Asimov. Some Asimov is like that as well. Bicentennial Man, which is one of my favorite films, and I expect to take it on the chin for that over at the GVM as well. 425-920-6050. But since there isn't a lot of Asimov translations in the film that are good, you know, you have to appreciate the ones that you get. I think you have to be positive about things like Bicentennial Man and iRobot, while not exact translations per se.
Imposter.
That was the Gary Sinise one, right?
Yes, that was the Gary Sinise one.
And I'm a big fan of Philip K. Dick, so it's always good to see any of his work translated. There's a bunch of comic stuff. They're actually doing we've talked about it on this show, the androids into a comic book now.
Right. Wasn't there
through Android's Dream of Electric
Sheep. And there's a follow-up to it, too. Like, isn't there, like, a sequel book?
Yeah, they spun something out of it.
Yeah.
That is really interesting, but I can't remember what
I don't remember the name off the top of my head. I know I was waiting for it to be collected, which is probably soon.
It hasn't been collected. I think it's only a second issue or so. I can't remember what it's called. But, yeah, they did spin something out of there. And Marvel's actually doing one.
Yes.
I think Electric Ant.
Yes.
It's a Philip K. Dick book, which I think is now finished, and that should be collected anytime.
Nice.
So I'll be picking that up when it comes
out.
Sweet. Yes, sir. And with that, let's take a break where we can recenter ourselves and we can refocus. And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 211, Positive.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Comes from a secret place far below the city streets.
This is Linda Hamilton from Beauty and the Beast, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And although we cannot be together, we will never, ever be apart.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 211, Positive.
Yes.
And don't forget, if you have something positive you'd like to say about this episode.
No, we can't do that. We can't just say, you know, people who have positive things to say. We want to hear all comments. That's why I feel it's a positive experience, because if we allow people to make all kinds of comments, we are being, you know, we're being accepting.
I think for this
episode
it should be positive. I want to hear praise. I want to hear how much they love us.
I think you're asking for trouble by doing that. If you want to make any comments, of course, you can go over to our message boards for this episode over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and you can call the GVM line,
425-920-6050,
and leave yourself a voicemail, well, not yourself, but leave us a voicemail over there, and you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So there it is.
There it is.
And also, we don't say this enough. You know about the photo galleries over there for each episode.
Yeah, man.
If you're listening to us, or you like to listen to us on some of the devices that you may have, like an iPod, an iPad, an iPood, a QuickTime computer, any of these products, iPhone, any of these products that you listen to us on, you can actually see some related images pop up on these devices as we're talking about them on the show, which is a very which is a technology we've been using since the very beginning of the show.
It's episode one.
And we like it. We dig it a lot. We think it's very interactive. It's as interactive as we can get with a podcast program. And so
there
check that out as well.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
Yes.
DVDs.
Avatar.
I didn't get to the store this week for DVDs yet.
Well,
so
then you missed out on all of these things I'm about to tell you about.
I'm relying on you to inspire me.
Avatar, the 3-disc extended collector's edition in Blu-ray and regular.
Yeah, you know, I've been considering whether I should buy this one or not, because
I'm getting this one. Because I didn't get the other one.
Right.
So I've been waiting for this one.
Well, I have a 3D TV.
I understand.
So I'm wondering, where's the 3D version?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll pick this one up. I have a 3D TV that I have no glasses for and have never used for 3D.
So there you go.
So I'm wondering why I'm, you know, so why concerned about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll probably get that one.
Jim Carrey's Disney's A Christmas Carol.
Now, was this a theatrical release?
This was a theatrical
release. Last year or over the summer? Or
no, it was last year, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why did it only come out on DVD now?
My guess would be...
so people would buy it.
No, my guess would be because the Disney marketing geniuses probably released it over the holidays and held off until the holidays again to release it because that's when it would sell more.
Probably.
It'll sell more now than it would have in July and August,
right?
For
good
example.
Point. Yeah, okay. I might pick that one up.
I'm going to Netflix it.
Are you?
I think so. I wanted to see it. I don't know that I need to buy it.
It's Disney, though.
It is Disney, but I'm more focused on the animated projects as far as owning.
That is animated.
No, it's not really. It's kind of like CGI. It's not like animated.
That's animated, sir. That's as animated as Toy Story.
It's not considered one of the. It's not considered one of the 49.
One of the 49?
There are 49 Disney theatrically released animated films.
Okay,
this is not considered one of them. None of the Pixar films are considered one of them because they are considered Pixar films.
Okay,
but Christmas Carol not considered.
Interesting.
And out of those 49, I own 42.
Wow.
I'm only missing a handful.
What are the seven you're missing, do you know?
I'm missing Hunchback because they never did a special edition. And I was always waiting for a special edition.
Right.
I'm missing Hercules for the same reason.
They did a special Hercules.
They did the Golden Age collection, but they never did like that definitive super spiffy packaging collection.
Okay.
I'm missing Dinosaur. I'm missing Chicken Little.
Dinosaur, that's considered one?
Yeah, because it was all Disney CGI.
Oh.
Chicken Little is considered one. So, and they're the same guys. That's, you know, Meet the Robinsons is in there.
Right.
I'm missing Chicken Little, Dinosaur, Hunchback, Hercules. I'm missing Fun and Fancy Free. I'm missing...
I don't know that one at all.
The Rescuers Down Under.
Okay.
Did I just name six? So there's one more that I'm missing.
Song of the South?
No, I have Song of the South, but that's not... for some reason, that's not considered. I don't know if it's because it's a combination of two.
Oh, you know why.
But but I own it. So if they decide to add it one day,
right?
I have it. No, maybe Melody Time I'm missing also.
Ah.
Because I have Make Mine Music. Or maybe I'm missing Make Mine Music and I have Melody Time. One of those two. So those are the seven.
Gotcha.
That being said, The Last Airbender came out on DVD this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't even know if I'm going to Netflix.
Well, look.
Well, no, I think that I'll Netflix it because I do want to see it.
Let's try to maintain a positive tone, sir. It does come from a terrific anime. And I use the word anime loosely because not only is this a good, consistent story, the animation in the original cartoon series, animated series, is spectacular. The story was really good, which, of course, deviates from much of anime today, where the story is, for God's sake, all over the place or non-existent. So it does come from good roots. However, not really a good movie.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it, so Netflix.
And, the other positive aspect is maybe M. Night Shyamalan will, like, take a breather.
Maybe. Metropolis. The complete Metropolis. Remember
now,
that movie,
Metropolis? Is this the yes, Fritz Lang one?
This is the one where they found that, like...
Yeah, they found a reel.
16 minutes of, like, previously never seen
that's
footage.
Coming out this week?
It came out this week?
Wow. Oh, I gotta go get that. And that's on Blu-ray, too, right?
You know, I'm only seeing a regular release, but then again, I'm looking at a website that may not have a definitive listing, so it's possible that it's going to get released.
That's awesome. That is some original science fiction movie right there, man. That's like 1920
something, isn't it? It's like 23, 28,
something like that.
20
silent movie. You've seen the female robot is very iconic.
1927,
yeah. Very iconic female robot you see kind of all over the place. Oh, yeah, that's great. I'm definitely picking that up.
And then also out this week, and I'm only naming these because you just brought up where are my 3D movies, you know, as far as Avatar goes. On 3D this week, Polar Express, which probably would be halfway decent in 3D.
I saw it in IMAX,
in
3D,
IMAX in 3D,
actually, and it was awesome.
Open Season in 3D.
And no one cares.
Clash of the Titans in 3D. And Cats and Dogs. I think two.
The second one? There,
yeah, the Revenge of Kitty Galore.
Yes.
And then also out on DVD this week, Glee, the complete first season collector's gift set out on DVD.
Just in time for Christmas shopping.
There you go, man.
Not for me. I'm getting that for you for Christmas.
Yeah, I think I might get it for my wee fae.
Oh, yeah?
Hopefully she's not listening.
You could you can maybe re-gift the one I'm giving you.
Nice. That'd be awesome. That would work.
That would save you time.
Save me some bucks.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
All right. I don't have any this week.
Oh, good.
I don't have any books this week.
Well, I'm sad to hear that, sir, because there's some terrific books out there you should check out, including Batman 704 by Tony Daniel, who is really, really writing up a storm with regards to this whole Batman business, sir. It's a very strange time, if you will, in the Batman universe. Bruce Wayne is back, but he's weird.
Okay.
I don't know. It's very strange. A lot of stuff going on in Batman. Writing
like
by
Earl Wayne.
What's that?
It's like Earl Wayne.
No.
Bruce's.
No, my friend. No, my friend.
Bruce's slightly special, never heard of before brother.
His cousin. No. It's actually this is now being written, illustrated, and cover is by Tony Daniel,
the bat
which
helmet,
is
the bat
spectacular.
Knee pads,
what's
the
that?
Bat wheelchair.
No. You're terrible, sir.
Just putting it out there.
There's a lot of Batman books. You might as well get comfy.
I'm going to go sleep.
The very first issue of Batman Incorporated by Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette.
Is this like Kids Incorporated?
This would be. Now we talked about this when it was when they were talking about it coming out. Do you recall what the conversation was?
I remember us talking about it, but I don't remember the premise behind the. Is that a Max Headroom advertisement on the back of that book?
No, oh, it's for Five Gum.
Oh, I'm looking at the front of the book. I saw the screen with the head in the middle, or what looked like a screen in the head. I'm looking from afar.
You're losing your
mind. I'm looking across
the
studio.
Just sit there. Just sit there and listen to me talk about it.
Sorry.
And in essence, what's happening here is Batman is sort of franchising.
Like a franchise opportunity.
Yeah, where he's going to train people in different parts of the world to be like, think of like the Green Lantern Corps, but it's like the Batman Corps.
Okay.
So it's that kind of thing. It's interesting, and it's written by Grant Morrison.
They're not all going to be dressed up like Batman, right? This isn't like...
I don't think so. Okay. I think that Knight and Squire might be one of those, which is kind of the British version.
Okay, okay.
Of that. It's that. I think it's that kind of thing.
Oh, here you go. I have some of the members listed. Knight Runner from France.
Uh-huh.
El Gacho? Guacho? Gacho, G-A-U-C-H-O.
Uh-huh.
I'm terrible with my Hispaniola.
Gacho.
From Argentina.
Yeah, a gaucho.
And Mr. Unknown from Japan.
There you go. So it's going to be essentially, he's going to be training these cats, you know, to bring justice around the world.
All right.
I think it's a great item.
I actually, that sounds kind of interesting. And I like Grant Morrison.
Batman, well, if you like Grant Morrison, sir, then you should check out Batman the Return One-Shot by Grant Morrison and David Finch. Of course, David Finch featured in our most recent, one of our most recent Studio V's, talking about his brand new upcoming book, Batman the Dark Knight.
That's right.
But this is Batman Returns. This is, this is kind of getting him back into the position, sir.
Okay.
So to speak. You got to check it out. I would give away too much by describing it too much, so you should definitely check that out. From our friends over at Dark Horse, this is the Hellboy Double Feature of Evil. It's a one-shot.
Okay.
And it has, it's the story by Mike Mignola, the artist by Richard Corbin, who is a good artist for Hellboy, I must say. And, it's a one-shot, gray Hellboy stuff. The fact that it's a one-shot, of course, is really, really awesome because... You don't have to worry about, getting it from month to month. I really like the way that they do Hellboy in that way.
Okay.
Storylines, the way that they do it, I like it. From Dynamite, this is The Last Phantom number 3. And We're still not sure exactly why this is the last Phantom per se.
Okay.
However, this is number three. It features a cover by Alex Ross. That's the one I got. There's some other covers as well, but really, when Alex Ross cover is available, you really got to do something spectacular to get another cover sold, in my opinion. And yeah, so check that out from Dynamite. And lastly, it almost hurts me to say, oh no, it doesn't have to hurt me to say, does it? Because it's not Marvel. I thought it would be Marvel by now, but
that's not Marvel?
No.
Tron Betrayal? Are you sure?
It's Disney Press.
Really?
Yes. Now, technically, it's Marvel because Marvel's owned by Disney, but there is no Marvel logo or nothing on here at all. Maybe they produced it for Disney Press, but there's no sort of thing on here that says any of that. Anyway, OG is right. It is Tron Betrayal. This is an original graphic novel prequel to Tron Legacy coming, December 17th, I think, or
17th,
19th? Yes. 17th, yeah. And if you want to, if you're in the tri-state area, that is the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut tri-state area, you can come join OG and I at Clifton Commons in Clifton, New Jersey for a midnight premiere of Tron. I think we're doing that one. And this is great. An original story that is actually a prequel to that Legacy movie coming out. As we said, art's nice. It's real nice, actually. And it's a kind of a nice fill-in between what you're going to see in the movie and the original movie. So, and it's a nice graphic novel, slightly smaller than standard format. It's great. I'm really looking forward to reading this, actually.
Nice.
And in the comic section tonight, even though it's not a comic book per se, but it is art.
It is a book.
Yes. From our friends over at Abrams Books. Ooh, that's Abrams Books. That's tough to get out.
I'm sorry.
This is Star Wars Art Visions.
This is amazing.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
This is a hardcover, kind of like a coffee table book full of Star Wars art. Now, what they've done here is George invited more than 100 well-known and promising artists to draw upon the entire Star Wars galaxy to inspire them to create artworks somehow based on the Star Wars galaxy. And the Star Wars Art Visions books collects these in a beautiful hardcover book. It is amazing. What are you chuckling at there, OG?
I've picked a few out to mention, and I'm right. Flipping through, and I get to the page that is the it's a yearbook page of Jabba the Hutt. He's got like glasses on,
right?
And he's in like a suit jacket and tie,
right? Well, so some of them, of course, have
clearly,
some of them have an air of whimsy. Others of them are very serious, very fine art like portraits. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some that are definitely you know, very. Like, yeah, like oil on acrylic, fine art,
right.
Star Wars representations, you know, and then there are some that are like plays on traditional, like there's a Picasso piece, you know what I mean? Like it looks like Picasso drew the Cantina Band,
right,
kind of thing. And then there's a piece in here that I really like. It looks like one of those old like 1950s like food drive through, like Stewart's,
right.
Kind of, you know?
Right.
And it's the waitress on roller skates, and she's holding the tray.
Uh-huh.
Except instead of roller skates, she's got on like these hover boots.
Right.
And it's like a land speeder and some other kind of some like iconic, taxi cab looking speeder.
Right. Some iconic looking Star Wars type things.
Right. And she's wearing like the shirt, you know, with like the knot tied in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And the print on the shirt around the bosom
would
be that of the same design as Leia's bikini.
Slave outfit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
From Jedi.
That's interesting.
There's a piece in here. It's a very famous painting of Ophelia floating in a pond.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
There's like a picture of that, but it's pregnant Padme.
Oh, okay.
Floating in the pond. There's a naked Twi'lek.
Uh-huh. Twi'lek?
Twi'lek.
Woman. Yeah, that one looks like a Playboy sort of photograph.
Yes.
But it's a painting.
Yes.
That one's very interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, look, there's a bunch more in here.
Yeah, over 100, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a ton. There's a ton of awesome art in this book.
Let me give you a few of the artists that you might know, OG. H.R. Giger.
Wow.
Alex Ross.
Nice.
Julie Bell and Boris Vallejo.
Nice.
Jamie Wyeth.
Okay.
William Stout.
Okay.
Sid Mead. All Mobius. Right. I mean, these are all humongous. Daniel Green, James Christensen, Harley Brown. There's a whole bunch of these fantastic artists that you've heard of.
I just found one of my favorites.
Oh, you did? What is it?
It's the name of the piece is The Stuff That Dreams Are Made Of by Peter Firk.
Oh, that's the one with the toys?
With the toys,
yes.
Resting on a table.
Uh-huh.
And the tablecloth is New Hope bed sheets.
Right.
Dude.
Somebody put together like a still life of their toys.
Dude.
That's awesome. Yeah, this one, it's going to run you about $40, 176 pages with 120 full color illustrations for $40. Holy cow. You know what I got to say, OG? I got to add this to the gifts
Absolutely.
To give this season list. For $40, over 120 full color illustrations by Abrams Books. Wow. And my understanding is there is also a limited edition version of this book.
Okay.
That comes with a bunch of prints with it, like small prints. That's like $400, I think, because the prints are all signed by the artists who did them. That would be, of course, you know, for your more expensive gift-giving pleasure. But, I mean, as far as a gift goes, a Star Wars fan is going to love this. It's only $40. Wow, incredible.
I got to point out another piece. I'm sorry.
What would you find?
Easy Being Green, It's Not by Peter DeSev.
Okay.
It is Kermit and Yoda sitting by the swamp in Dagobah.
Uh-huh.
And Kermit's fishing like he's doing in the, it's Not Easy Being Green?
Video?
Dude.
Uh-huh.
This book is awesome.
So there it is. It's called Star Wars Art Visions, forward by George Lucas and an introduction by J.W. Rinsler from Abrams Books. I think we should give one of these away.
I think it's our responsibility.
I think it is.
To give one of these to our awesome, dedicated podcast.
Yes, we should. And here's how we're going to do it. OG, take it away.
All right. So, I think we're going to make this another message board contest.
Uh-huh.
So, in the episode post for episode 211, you're going to go over there and you're going to post, an original piece, a drawing, a painting, a Photoshop. You want to make like a little animated video, something Star Wars related that you created, akin to some of the stuff that's in this book.
You're right.
Like the same kind of visionary. It could be like a fine art piece. It could be a play on something pop culture-y like this is.
Right.
I think that we're gonna select one of those.
We got to give some time on this one.
You have until December 15th.
Right.
At 5 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
To submit your entries in the episode 211 post. We'll pick a winner and you will get this book.
Yep.
There are people out there that I know that can contribute to this contest.
So there you have it. And we'll announce the winner then. Start posting those entries.
Absolutely.
I'm going to post an entry so I can win a copy of the... Oh. I have a good one, though.
Well, you can't win.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Sure.
We got one to talk about real quick as we bring the show to a close for this week. And I got to tell you, I couldn't be more positive about this if I tried. This is from our friends over at DC Direct. It's Gotham City Stories, number 3, The Joker.
Of course you're excited. It's The Joker.
Sculpted by Joseph Mena. This is a limited edition. Now, this is truly a limited edition because there are only 2,000 of these.
Okay, all right.
Not like 8,000 or whatever the heck that was.
Limited
last week.
To 1,000,000 pieces. Yes.
By that, yeah. What, didn't you say this last week? By that definition, everything is
everything
a limited
is limited.
It's only one of 1,000,000,000.
Right.
This is a three-dimensional, a series of dimensional display pieces, it's called.
Okay.
And it's the characters, so far, Batman, Catwoman, and the Joker, I think, are out so far.
Okay.
And they're kind of at, if you can imagine, they're kind of in, coming out of windows, you know, of, say, like a high-rise apartment building type thing. And I think the theory here is that you would hang these on a wall. They go on a wall like a relief. And you would hang them accordingly on top of each other so that you would get one nice display out of, you know, what would seemingly be a sort of a building.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So the Batman one was really great, of course. I don't know that we talked about the Catwoman one. Yet to come is Harley Quinn versus Robin. They got both of those characters in that one piece. And the one we're talking about today is the Joker. Joker is stepping out of the window. It looks like there's some gaseous things behind him.
He's got a couple money bags in his
hand.
Yeah,
a couple of money bags. Oh, looks like he has... Yes, sir?
Yeah, if you look, he kind of like rotted out the window.
Yeah, it looks like
busted
he...
Bust it open.
Looks like he acid-floured the window. Yeah,
nice.
Out to open it up. Yeah, it's a terrific piece. Great sculpting. It's actually a really great concept. Kind of a 3D wall relief type thing.
Sculpted by Joseph Mena.
Yes, Joseph Mena, we said.
Coming in at $99.99.
Yeah, and it's 5¾ inches tall, 5¾ inches wide, and at its width, it's at most 3¼ inches deep. So it's just like we said, it's sort of a square piece. I really think they're meant, you think I'm right, OG? I think they're meant to be kind of hung one on top of the other, sort of like they're all in one building.
I think it's probably going to, maybe when it's all done, it kind of almost sets them a scene.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sort of, in a way. I don't think they could go next to each other because of the way the windows are positioned. So I would think they would have to be on top of each other, would be my thought.
Okay.
I don't know. In any case, yes, limited edition of 2000, as we said. Check out DCComics.com/DC Direct. While it's around, and check this out and other fine DC Direct products while they're around. And yeah, there it is. Gotham City Stories, The Joker. Check it out at a store near you or on that website or what? Yes, sir?
I just looked at the picture of Harley Quinn versus Robin.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty epic piece.
I know.
It's a pretty awesome. It's, well, we'll talk about it when it comes out, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. And with that, we'll take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 211, Positive.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair, the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey, on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7, and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hey, wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 211, positive.
Yes, and before we go into the wrap-up, we have a contest to wrap up.
Oh, you.
That didn't sound very positive.
Oh, you.
I was making a funny joke, and I'm sorry. What contest are we bringing to a close today, Oge?
We are talking about the the movie and TV related, food related product contest in which the winner will receive a Think Geek Star Trek Enterprise pizza cutter.
Sponsored by Big Kev Eat Stuff.
No.
Coming in 2011 at last.
We had several entries.
Uh-huh.
We originally said there was going to be a grand prize winner.
And a runner-up.
And a runner-up. But I think we've expanded that to two runners-up.
Oh, we did. Oh, yes, we did. I forgot. Yes, we did. The entries were many over at the message boards.
The entries were many. I was very happy with the turnout.
Yeah, and we're very happy. Of course, the grand prize tonight is the Star Trek Enterprise pizza cutter.
Yes.
All steel pizza cutter from our friends over at ThinkGeek. Check out thinkgeek.com for more of these great gift ideas, especially in the holiday season.
Right.
And yes.
You want to announce the two runners up? And then
the runners up, of course, will get nice prizes as well.
They will.
Not as nice as the winner.
The first runner up, I picked because I just had to. I saw this and it was like, oh my God, totally remember
you
it.
You did nothing. We did it all together.
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, I was like, that
try to exclude me. You were try to take credits.
Anyway, this one goes out to Wombat Neil over at the message boards. His entry was High Seas Ecto Cooler.
High Seas Ecto Cooler.
Yo, I love me some Ecto Cooler.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Toxic green.
Right, based on Ghostbusters.
Right, right. It had Slimer on the label.
Uh-huh.
That was a great... I think they still make that, but they don't call it Ecto Cooler anymore. Or maybe they do. I don't even know.
I don't know.
But I think they still make that. I think I'm going to...
Hunt some down. Some.
I'll find something like an old box.
Ugh.
All right. Our second runner-up for this contest was Starman over at the message boards with the Kellogg's C-3POs.
I don't even remember C-3POs, but I do.
I mean, though. They were like, they were kind of like Cheerios. You know what I mean?
Really? Were they?
But and the box was, I think this probably came out around the time of Droids.
He didn't send visual reference?
He did. He sent a picture of the C-3PO cardboard cutout, which I remember because I've seen it at cons before. I've seen people selling it before.
Right.
And it's just a giant C-3PO cardboard cutout holding a box of
C-3POs. Oh, okay. So we know what the box looked like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we know. It was a blue box, and it said C-3POs with the Kellogg's logo,
uh-huh.
And it was like a bust shot of 3PO up.
You see his bust
with a bowl of cereal in front of him.
Nice. C-3POs.
Yes.
It's kind of an obvious.
Kind of an obvious. One.
Kind of an obvious use of the name of the character, but anyway, and of course our winner.
All right, so our winner, Big Harry Sideburns, over at the message board,
uh-huh.
He posted TMNT Jell-O, right? But then he posted TMNT everything.
Right.
And there was Jell-O, vanilla pudding pies, pizza.
Yeah, and you forget.
Cereal.
Right.
Crackers. I mean, there has to be... There had to be like 15 or 20 things.
Exactly.
On that list. It was a complete comprehensive list.
And
that
you
he
forget
posted.
And you forget, of course, when the Turtles were at their most popular, since they were so associated with pizza and eating and they went berserk with tying food related products
mac into and cheese.
Tying food related products into the franchise.
But so, I will say that the Royal Ooze TMNT Jell-O from the movie.
Right.
Definitely.
That is
definitely awesome.
Very cool. So congratulations to Big Harry Sideburns over at the message board.
Please, all of you winners, send me a message through the message board or drop me an email, bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Oh, and, what happened to GeekStuffOG?
Oh, yeah, 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 GeekStuffOG. Any of those ones, drop me a message with your shipping information.
And, of course, make sure you open each email with, "Hey, Kev."
If you send it to me privately through the message boards and you address, "Hey, Kev," you are disqualified, and I will pick another winner at random.
Wow. Kind of harsh, aren't you?
I'm
just saying.
That's my stance. I'm sticking to it.
A little harsh. OG, what did we talk about on this very positive episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 211, positive?
Jon Favreau's The Magic Kingdom, Aronofsky's The Wolverine, the Green Lantern trailer, Louis Leterrier's Why the Last Man, Jim Carrey leaving The Three Stooges, Guillermo del Toro being involved with the Hulk TV series, the Batman TV series, Duke in the lead role for 21 Jump Street, and I'm sure there's something else that I can't remember. In DVDs tonight, we talked about Avatar, the complete three-disc bonus sex scene edition, Jim Carrey's Disney's A Christmas Carol, The Last Airbender, all out on regular DVD this week, along with The Complete Metropolis, the 1927 original sci-fi film. And then a couple of 3D films out this week. The Polar Express in 3D, Open Season in 3D, Cats and Dogs 2 in 3D, and Clash of the Titans in 3D.
In comics tonight, we talked about Batman 704, Batman Incorporated number 1, Batman Returns one shot, Batman Hellboy double feature of evil, Batman The Last Phantom number 3, and of course, we also mentioned tonight the graphic novel to check out. It's Batman Tron Betrayal, an original graphic novel prequel to Tron Legacy. And tonight, of course, we talked about Star Wars Art Visions by Abrams Books. Absolutely a great gift. It's one of our gifts to give this season, $40. Check that out at a book retailer near you. And finally, in product, it's DC Direct's Gotham City Stories, number 3, a three-dimensional relief wall piece, if you will, featuring the character of the Joker.
All of these have been really awesome so far.
Yeah.
I think as a display piece, they're all going to be great together, and I really look forward to the Harlequin Robin one.
Yes, I think it will be awesome.
With that being said, don't forget you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all 211 of our episodes, including our Live from Studio V's. I think the episode 200 live event videos are still up there. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, youtube.com/BKGeekStuff, at Twitter, BKGeekStuff or GeekStuffOG. Noticing a trend there as well.
Yep.
And don't forget, of course, we encourage all of you to give a call into the GVM line with any questions, comments, concerns, positive, negative, no matter what they are, 425-920-6050, and you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Congratulations to our prize winners for the Think Geek Star Trek Pizza Cutter Contest, and good luck to all of our future entrants in the Star Wars Visions Contest.
And on a final note tonight, we want to thank Steve from Philadelphia.
That's right.
For setting us straight on the positive path. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. We really appreciate you listening, and we really appreciate your feedback. And as you see, we took it to heart. I think we accomplished something here, OG.
And I'm positive you're going to continue to listen and love every single episode of this show.
I'm positive of that as well. And with that, I will close this podcast as we close all Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. roads go ever, ever on. Under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.